Today is Monday, March the 18th, 2024, and welcome to episode 52 of Farm Wife Sexy Life with Candy Couple. My name is Julia. Myself and my husband Aaron are a small homestead family in rural Southwest Virginia that work every single day on being more self-reliant, more self-sufficient, less dependent on outside sources, merging homesteading and frugality. And yes, we are on episode 52. That means we are 1 year in. I'm so excited and so proud of myself. I, you know, have really put a lot of effort and work into this podcast. And I hope it gives inspiration and ideas and thoughts to all of you out there, because the purpose of this podcast is to really focus on the woman's role on a homestead. The woman is, you know, the lifeblood, bringing that back, the, you know, embracing motherhood, embracing our, you know, natural ability and, you know, natural willingness to jump in here and handle these things and be the backbone of the family. And it's just fitting that 1 year in, I'm going to talk about my biggest homestead mistakes. And I know that for me, when we first started homesteading, everybody makes mistakes. I make mistakes every single day. I try not to. I do tend to be more of a perfectionist, which drives Aaron insane. But I really do try to avoid making mistakes and thinking things through. I'll give a great example. A couple weeks ago, I was working in our berry vines, trying to get those together so I could get them off our list. Knew this was a big project. Several weeks, I get to work like 2 hours at a time when it's pretty outside and warm enough, it's sunny enough, and it's not raining. And I get to go do that while the little one's taking a nap. And what, you know, one of the things that we have to be concerned about on our homestead is deer. We have a very, very heavily overpopulated deer population here. I mean, we are overpopulated. Our hunters don't like to kill does. They want to kill the buck. They want to get those horns. And we also have a very limited number of doe days where does are allowed to be killed. That makes it a very heavy deer population. I mean, it is nothing for me to have 30 deer in my yard at a time. And for us to see 40 or 50 deer on the way home within like 5 minutes, it can get crazy. Well, because of that deterrence that a lot of people would say, oh, this works so great, don't work for us. The deer are just going to glance right to it. Might deter one, but it's not going to deter most of them. And our only solution has been fencing. So I'm working in this berry patch, and one of these berry patches is right near our garden. We never really had a fencing area behind it because we kind of let that overgrow. But I took it down. I mean, and I took it way down. I cut as much out of that sucker as I could. And we're going to have a very small crop this year, which is okay. They're black raspberries and they are amazing. But to get this contained, I knew I had to do something. But it left huge gaps where the deer could just walk right into our garden. But I also know that I needed to leave an area for us to get behind it. So what I did is I put fencing up, put fencing around it. But then I also put fencing on the side where we have like a little post that we can pull it out and pull it in. And we just need to make sure we keep the berry vines off of that side so we don't rip them off the ground or it makes it so we can't get in. So I really try to think these things through, but I have not always done this. Have not. So let's hop into my mistakes. And Betty, I have made some doozies. Please use this as an example of what not to do versus what to do. Do not follow my example in this. My very first one. This is a huge one. I feel like the biggest mistake I had when we first started, I refused to acknowledge that I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't think I had anything to learn. I had gardened with my mom, my dad, my papa. They did all the heavy lifting. I had done all this. It was so bad. Those first few years were so bad. And thinking like, oh, we can repurpose this and not really thinking about the material and doing my research and learning, but what I'm doing, didn't know anything about infrastructure on the homestead. Like, where should we think about putting these things and how should we do it? And, you know, wow, maybe this really won't work on our yard. I really refused to acknowledge that I had no clue what I was doing. Really did. Now I lean towards, whenever I look into things, I'm looking them up. I'm doing my research. Okay, what's really going to work for us? How's this going to work well? Really thinking these projects through. Not just jumping in with my head down, thinking that I know what I'm doing. I will say this cost us a lot of money and a lot of time. Especially my garden. Because I was like trying to embrace this greenhouse. And I would say with seed starting, it took me years to really figure this out. And I think that's when I really realized, man, people out there might know more than me. Why don't I start watching and learning and reading and actually getting some things from these people and seeing how I could apply it to my situation. Now, I don't think anybody knows everything about everything. There are some experts and I will gladly defer to them, but and I will always tend to lead towards the lazy side of gardening. And I know that sounds awful, lazy gardening. Gardening's not lazy, but I do prefer a more hands-off approach. I like to set it, forget it, have as much minimal impact on me as possible. And the reason why I enjoy that better is because it kind of lets the plants learn to thrive on their own. Lets the garden thrive on its own with little effort. Because what if something happens to me and I can't get out to the garden because I've broken my foot or broken my toes? It's happened before. Ask Garrett how many times he's had to dig potatoes by himself because I've broken my toe. It's just one of those things where I've learned how I am. I've learned how I tend to work. And I have also learned I don't know it all. I can't. There's just no way. So I need to do my research. I need to find recipes. I need to learn. Now, I'm one of those people that can look at a recipe and tell you what you can change. I'm not one of those people who's going to say you should follow a recipe the exact way it's written every single time. On most recipes. Like 95% of recipes you do not have to follow the way it's written every single time. People who say that are people who will eat just about anything and are not picky eaters. I'm a picky eater. I'm not going to eat everything that you put on my plate. And I will tell you now, you have to work really hard to hide an onion in my food. I mean, really hard to hide an onion. Because if there's an onion in there, I will find it. I will find it. And once I do, it's in my head. And I will go through and pick every onion out of that meal if I don't stop eating it, period. You can ask my mom. You have to work really hard to hide this stuff in my food. You can't chop it fine enough. You can't chop it small enough because it's got a texture, a taste in, and I can see it. I can see it and it will. But I am one of those types of people that can take something and say, this is a really good idea. How do I take this idea and apply it to my life? How do we really look at what we're doing? So we had talked about adding ducks to our homestead. Well, we want to make sure they're close enough to our home that it's not going to be a huge burden, especially in the winter time, for me to go get them taken care of, to check for eggs or whatever they need, to make sure their water's not frozen, all of these things that they need. And for us, we have a good place for that. It's not too far, not too far, not too close. So we've really had to, because we've watched a lot of people, we've listened to a lot of people who are experts in their field, we've really learned a lot by watching and listening. So when I started acknowledging that I didn't know everything and I needed to learn, I think it helped me the most. Another mistake, not focusing on perennials that do well in our area. When we first started building this orchard, we looked at exotic, rare, interesting, new, expensive, costly plants. Questionable if they're even going to grow here or do anything. We just went with them. We were like, God, this sounds good. I can't tell you, like, the elderberries. Our elderberry production is disastrous. They're supposed to grow here. We actually have some that are wild right down our road that we just noticed last year. Aaron swore to me they weren't elderberries, but they are. And we were like, but we couldn't get the ones we bought to grow. I would say from this particular nursery, we might have gotten 40% of the trees to grow. Now, apricots, gooseberries, other plants of that variety, the blueberries, things of that nature, they grow amazing. We can grow berries like nothing else. They take a lot more management than a tree does. A lot more effort and time. We just got to keep them kind of contained. But I really wish we would have put our focus here. I really do. I really wish we would have really put our focus on this, especially because it's just, these other things kind of take so much effort and energy and space. And I really think we could have thought through this a little bit better. I've already told Aaron, if we keep having trouble with our grapes, that I'm probably going to rip them out and refill those places with canes of other, like Anne raspberries. So they now have a thornless black raspberry, which I'm super excited. We did buy some of those to try. So we have all these things that we know we can grow well. We know grow well in this particular area that for us, it just makes more sense. Instead of these really super exotic, super rare, instead of tried and true. One of the things that we do need to figure out are like apples. We're having troubles with apples. And we kept going back to like the same places, but we keep having the same issues with some of these trees. Like, we can't get them to grow, to do anything in the areas we're doing, you know, everything we've always done. A lot of trees grow, but these just, we're having no luck out of some of these. So it's just one of those things we have to deal with and go through. And a tree is a long-term investment. It's, you know, to get fruit, we'll plant it now for, 10 years later, you're going to have fruit. It's what we have with our apricots. And I could tell you now, like, our apricots were actually there budding in early March. So they're budding in early March. And we're super excited about that. But it also means we're probably going to lose them. We're probably going to lose every single plant because we're going to get a freeze spell, I'm sure. I just wish we would have focused on the standard plants that grow well for us. Because I feel like we've wasted a lot of money on trying to get these exotic fruits we thought would be amazing. And there are some fruits that I do want, like a plum cot. I love a plum cot. It's a plum and apricot mix hybrid. It's amazing. It tastes so good. And pears. I want pears. I want peaches. And these are the things we're going to be focused on in our front food forest. Apricots grow well for us. Peaches, pears, apples. I'm probably going to go more on the dwarf variety because they are in my front yard in some spaces, so they don't get so terribly big. But that's definitely going to be a huge focus for us. Number 3. I didn't learn to embrace the pivot and to creatively figure out lasting solutions earlier. I didn't think things through as well as I should have. And for me, embracing the pivot on the homestead is vital. It is life-giving when things don't work out. This is something that drives Aaron absolutely insane when things don't go the way they need to. And I totally get it. We are both process-driven people. We like a process. It's just how we are. We are very much, you give us A, B, C, D, we're going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, because it's how we're built and made. But it also means when things do not go correctly, do not go the right way, it throws us off our game. And over the years, I have learned I have to embrace the pivot to think outside my feet and to really start figuring out solutions to problems before they happen. But I didn't embrace that early. And so we just keep trudging on and be like, we'll figure it out. Instead of like, okay, stop. Let's reevaluate. Let's look at this and see what we need to do. The next one is a huge one. Absolutely massive. And that is justifying overspending on our budget for the homestead. So it took us podcasting together to really realize that we had a homesteading budget, but we didn't really include the homestead in our budget. We thought of the homestead as part of it, but we would always like, oh yeah, well, but it's going to pay off later. It's going to pay off in a couple of years, and it's worth it now. We needed it to get this done and over with, and we would justify making these sweeping purchases, these massive tree orders, things of that nature, just because we're building up this homestead. And this was a mistake. This is a huge mistake. We are not that kind of a spender by nature. These weren't impulse buys. We knew we would be spending, but we didn't stick to our budget. We were just like, oh yeah, well, all of these things, they'll help us so much. Let's go ahead and get them all. Instead of just looking at this and being like, this is our budget. If we want these other items, we need to budget for them. They can't be included this time. Right now, we know we need a wood splitter. We're looking at an electric one because for us, that makes much more sense than a gas-powered or other type of motor-driven one. We are all, it's battery-powered, so we're really excited about that. We're also looking at a few other things for the homestead. We have a lot of buckets. We have to get things of that nature. It's all budgeted for. There is cash available to make these purchases. And we've really heavily embraced budgeting for our homestead and making sure that we were putting as much money as possible towards our homestead that we could. The next one is not looking at the functionality of our homestead. And again, another huge mistake. When we put on our homestead, we were really looking at it more from like an orchard perspective, you know, building this homestead that's going to, you know, we'll have a garden, we'll have all this fruit, this orchard, and it'll take care of us, and we'll be able to sell this fruit and everything, and we're still years away from that. But we didn't really think this through as well as we should have, because we didn't think, well, what if we decide to bring animals on? Where are we going to put them? What if we decide to put in a high tunnel? Where are we going to put that? Where are we going to put these things whenever we get older? We didn't think these things through as well as we should have. And because of that, we're now sort of in a mode where we're trying to scramble and build our infrastructure, more infrastructure for our homestead, around trees. Now, we've been given some gifts. We have some elderberry patches that died. That's where our ducks are going to go. We have this area that's behind our greenhouse. We will be taking down the greenhouse and redoing it because the one we have is it's not working. And I need to put in some better systems that will keep it warm and keep it cool. But we're working through that, what that's going to look like. And that's a several years down the road project. But we're kind of pushing everything through that lens of, okay, now what do we really need to do with this area? Even when we start our front yard food forest project, which isn't going to be a lot of upfront costs, it's a lot of upfront work because we're terracing the front yard. That's going to be a huge amount of work. We're talking weekends and weekends of moving dirt for Aaron and I. It's going to be a hard job. It's one we'll get done, it will get through, but it's not going to be an easy job by any means. It's going to be a lot of long evenings and long work. But we're thinking through, like, okay, we have a UTV. Or how are we going to drive it if we tear this through this? How does this work? So we're making sure we think these things about the future, because we know in the future we're probably going to have a UTV or some sort of vehicle that we can take throughout that's going to help push us forward in our next phase on the homestead. But we wouldn't have looked at that before. We didn't think about these things before. We kind of just, again, put our head down, thought we knew what we were doing, and pushed through. And because of that, we kept expanding outward with trees. We really should have been thinking, well, maybe this whole field doesn't need to be trees. Maybe we need this field for something else. But it turned out okay because, you know, a large animal beyond the size of like a turkey isn't going to work for our family. We already know that. I know a lot of people feel like, you know, well, that's crazy. I don't understand that. We're just not big enough pork eaters, beef eaters, and goats. I think of goats like the gateway into homesteading, but I feel like everybody who's been homesteading for a while just gets rid of the goats. They're done. They're like, nope, I'm done with goats. They're way too much trouble than they're worth. And I'm like leaning towards, yep, I'll learn from your mistake. Nope, no goats for me. I don't really want to deal with them. I don't want to deal with the dwarf ones. I don't want to deal with anything like that. We're poultry eaters. Why not focus on the protein we eat like 3 weeks out of the month, which is chicken or turkey. And we love duck. Love ducks. So why not focus on those instead of coming over here and doing pork when we don't eat that much pork? I mean, we really don't. Instead, we can buy our pork, buy the little bit of beef we eat, and end up saving money because the money we would have spent on feed and to take care of these animals would have been way, way more than the little amount we would have actually spent at the store or butcher to get the amount of meat that we're going to eat for the year. And that's just kind of how we think of that there. But yeah, these are a few of the really big mistakes I feel like I've made, and they're very broad. But I can tell you that I would say the biggest one is just not being willing to do the research and learn. And I'm a research and learning person, but I really felt like I knew it all. And I didn't know anything. I really didn't. And I don't know if my family, like a lot of the people that I would do stuff with, knew as much as the information is out there today. There's so much more to it than you just take the seed and put it in the ground. Well, yeah, you could also fertilize your ground with rock dust, use charcoal. That really does help. Biochar, all of these different options and things you think about to help improve your plant and your soil health. That really wasn't ever talked about. But on another note, if you have any comments, questions, anything you want to hear from me in a future episode, please send those to thecandycouple@yahoo.com. And as always, I really appreciate you joining us. And if you'll look at our other content on our link tree where we do our YouTube videos, I do lots of videos on cooking, how we cook from the pantry, how we cook on the homestead, how we shop for deals, and then create meal plans out of those. You can go check that out on our link tree. They'll have links to all of that. And as always, thank you for joining me on Farm Wife Sexy Life with the Candy Couple, where we work hard, live simple, and enjoy life. Have a wonderful day.